We've heard the saying, it is what it is. But actually, when we come to this theme about God giving instructions to Moses about the building of the tabernacle, we found many, many lessons, many worship lessons, actually. And that is relevant to talk about them. We know that we are not in the old covenant by the law. We know that we are in the new covenant by grace. And sometimes I ask myself, how serious is for us that grace? Is that a cheap grace, as Bonhoeffer used to say, or what it is? So, and this morning, it is not what it is. It is what it was. It is what has always been. The same purpose, same God, revealing to his people and giving us instructions about worship. Heavenly Father, we ask this morning that you, through your Holy Spirit, teach us, help us. If we open your word, we want your permission. And we want to be truthful to your word. And we want to take as much teachings as possible that we can be transformed to the person you want us to be. In your name we pray. Amen. So, one of the goals for me this morning is just to share with you some very noticeable or very easy to see in the Bible and this chapter of Exodus 25, all the instructions and the principles that we see about worship, and that it's my goal to share those with you this morning. And I'm going to start right away. One of them is, it is very, very, very obvious that God wants to dwell among his people. God, he is the initiator. He was at the beginning, as we have seen, already heard the readings between the songs, and he started this. He wanted to be with us. He wanted to be among us. He wanted to form a people for him. So he started it with Moses, of course, and he gave Moses instructions about how to set up the campment. The camp, how to put right in the center, the camp was all a circle, right at the center was the tabernacle. And the tabernacle was built so God could dwell among them. It says, Exodus 25:8, it says, also Ezekiel 37:27, John 1:14, then they use the word, the same word, dwell. And dwell actually means pitch a tent among us. Or even better, tabernacle with us. Tabernacle among us. It's the same word is used for Jesus Christ when he was prophesied that he was going to be the Emmanuel, God with us, God tabernacling with us. That was the sense. Today, we know God dwells in believers, 1 Corinthians 3:16. And we worship band, musicians, singers, and leaders should help people sense his presence in every service, rehearsal, and moment of praise. This is Some teachings about worship, not only for the whole church, but also for the specific work of the musicians and singers too. So we are right there. We cannot do this. So all those teachings appeal to us too. One of the things that we see, and when the priest once a year went to the Holy of Holies, he started at the beginning doing sacrifices, and then the sacrifices were for the people as well, for atonement of sins. So the beginning, there was a place for the sacrifice, and then there was a purification for the feet and for the hands. And later was the holy, and then the Holy of Holies. A process. That shows us a process. It's not just a random thing. It's a process that we need to look carefully. There is no way to approach God without sacrifice. There is no way to be with Him unless we clean ourselves. We want communion with God? We need Jesus Christ first, and then we need to not the ritual of purification, but be of pure heart and clean our hands. I love the word when it says, raising hands free of blood, hands to worship. And I love it. I love the process. So worship requires reverence, obedience, and preparation. Preparation is very interesting when we... I'm not going to talk about the musicians, okay? I hope I don't say anything that is going to compromise anybody here. But when we come to practice, we are supposed to have the songs already chosen, turn out keys, the way we are going to play them and sing them, and also the recording of reference, the sheet music. We have everything we need to. And we are supposed to come to the rehearsal practicing before. Preparation. And it's the same for us. For every person. Do we prepare when we are going to have an encounter with God, do we prepare our lives, our hearts? Do we prepare ourselves? Do we know what is going to happen as we encounter God? It is an encounter. So, the tabernacle and all the rituals showed that it was required reverence, obedience, and preparation. This is very interesting. The Bible uses 40 verses to explain the creation and uses 450 verses to explain the construction of the tabernacle. Would that be important, maybe, right? Every detail in the tabernacle, the construction, was intentional. Everything had a purpose. God values how He is worshipped. It's not because God has a problem of self-esteem, so He wants our worship because He needs our worship. No, it's because we are benefited. We are so, so benefited when we worship our God. The more we worship God, the more we resemble Him. I'm not talking about music. Well, last week we talked about that. It's not about music. It's another story. It's the whole self, the whole person. uh, So, every detail, says something. Not only should worship leaders, musicians, or singers prepare with excellence, reverence, and obedience, but everybody should be prepared for an encounter. Praying before service, coming spiritually ready, and honoring the privilege of worshiping together, because it is a privilege. Have you seen those worship leaders at the beginning of a service shouting like, "Let's go and praise the Lord! Let's shout to the Lord!" And a lot of words like that, right? You have heard that. You know what? Many times, worship leaders are struggling, trying to drag the people and make them sing. Did you know that? But if we come ready, if we come prepared, and we will know what is going to happen, who is going to be here, we don't need anything like that. We will be champion right there. Praise the Lord. Yes. Yeah. Without anybody to tell us what to do. And yeah, it will be so natural. We'll be joyful. Every time. Every moment. We don't need a trumpet to tell us what to sing. No, we don't need that. If we come prepared, spiritually ready, we will be jumping of joy here. I'm not saying that, and I have a lot of respect for the people that is calm and quiet. It's fine. Good. I know that they are rejoicing too. There are many ways of expressing our joy. Many ways. So, another. Christ fulfills the symbols of worship right there in the tabernacle. Everything talks about Jesus. The Ark of the Covenant, God's presence in covenant, fulfilling Jesus as our mediator. Hebrews 9:15. The lampstand, the menorah, that we know it as menorah, or menorah, sorry about that. Light of the world, Jesus is the light, John 8:12. The table of the showbread, God's provision, Jesus is the bread of life. Hebrews 10:19-22. Another principle that emanates from the tabernacle, God is in the details. There are so many details. Exactly, we go to, last week I went with a friend to a coffee shop, and then I asked for a chocolate, just cocoa, yeah, that's it. Do you want it this way? You know, this way? What about this? You want this? Like 20 questions for a cocoa. Too many details for me. I don't want anything. Give me water. Too many details. God was in the details. Is in the details. The precise instructions for every element reminds us that God values detail. Worship planning should be thoughtful. Thoughtful. With songs and elements that align with the scripture. True worship, another principle, true worship is in spirit and truth. The tabernacle was not a box to confine God. Stephen's teachings warns us, thinking that we can box God in. True worship is in spirit and truth, not bound to a physical structure. It was the tabernacle. Okay, then where was open. Everything was open. And when we heard about the curtain ripping up, it was made from top to bottom. You had a really big ladder to go and start cutting it if you wanted to do it. And it was so thick. But it was from top to bottom. Only God could do that. Even when we do, when we see that, not only the tabernacle or the temple, not anymore. Not anymore. Any place. I remember one day, 2020, in Quito, Ecuador. Many stories have to be or are related to Quito, Ecuador, so I'm sorry. It's higher than this, a lot higher. So there was a group of pastors from, there were like heavyweight pastors and leaders from the city of Shelbyville, Tennessee. 10, 12 pastors visiting our church in Quito. We were kind of partners, doing some partnership with them. And they came to visit our church and having several conferences for the whole community of believers in Quito. So we were one day at the hotel. It was the one of the ballrooms. It was empty. We were just praying in that place. And then as I was praying with all the pastors, then I started feeling not heavy, but something very special. The presence of the Lord was so strong in that moment to me. And I just kneeled down and started praying. And they were, the prayer time had finished, but I was on my knees still there. And I didn't want to abandon that place. I didn't want to leave that place. It was so beautiful. I was, no, I don't want to go anywhere. I want to stay here. And so they left. And since they didn't see me, what is going on? Where's Roberto? Okay. So they came back to the room, and they saw me still on my knees and, you know, prostrated right there on the ground. And they were saying, what is going on with this guy? And they were, I felt everything. I was conscious about what happened, what was happening outside. But I say outside of me, right? But I was there, and I didn't want to be bothered. I just wanted to say, get away. But I didn't even wanted to stop what I was doing. It was so amazing. And then they started doing this, and it was so funny because they were, you know, big pastors. They were amazing leaders, and they were saying, you know, I think he's demon possessed. And I was there, and I wanted to say, what? But I didn't want to stop my time. That, you know, you're disturbing me. And I stayed there worshiping. It was amazing. So sweet, so sweet time. And then they took me from the ground. They put me, I was still loving, you know, praising Jesus. And they took me and they started doing this. They believe that when you do this, because if this is demon possessed, it was going to vomit or doing something like that. You know that. You've seen those things. Weird stuff. And then I just wanted to be with Jesus. That's it. And they couldn't do anything. So they just let me, and I came back to my prostration place, keep worshiping. It was a place where nobody expects, you know, to be worshiped at that, making a time of worship right there in a hotel, a totally empty room. It was kind of crazy for me, maybe doing that. I didn't care. I was enjoying my time with Jesus so much. I didn't care. And they left. Actually, they started doing their stuff and meetings, and then they left the place. And I just was so happy at the end. was so full, it was not related to any church building or any place devoted to. I'm not saying that it's not good to be in a building and worship in a building. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that it's not now constricted to just one place. Worship is, you can worship anywhere, anytime. So, true worship is in spirit and truth. Another principle about the sacrifice and atonement, the tabernacle sacrifice pointed to the seriousness of sin and the need for atonement. It was necessary, the atonement, and sin cost the life of the animal right there, but cost the life for us, of Jesus. That is serious. It's not, we are not only happy of receiving the gift of salvation, that we should really, once in a while, meditate on what was the cost. The tabernacle sacrifices pointed to the seriousness of sin and the need for atonement. They were fulfilled in Christ's sacrifice. Our worship should reflect gratitude for his sacrifice and the freedom from sin's penalty. What does it have to be with us? Anyway, a lot. This is, if you allow me, please, this is for every worship leader is present here, or any musician. Lead with reverence and excellence. Use worship elements to point to Christ, to the cross. Encourage generosity and participation. And preparation. Generosity and preparation. Keep worship open, spirit-led, and truth-centered. And remember that God, God's presence is not confined to a building. It is in the heart of believers. We have a saying in Spanish. At some point in history, let's say, the musicians of the churches started calling themselves Levites. They started calling themselves, I'm a Levite. And Levite, you write it like Levita. Levita. This is a word for Levite. But Levita, if you want, you cut it in two, the word Levita is Le-Evita. And that means he avoids. Le-Evita, he avoids. So every time one of those musicians started saying, I'm a Levite, I'm a Levita. So to you, Le-Evita prayer. Le Evita died. Le Evita visit the people in the hospitals. Le Evita avoids everything. They just do go to the platform, start performing, because that is really performing. Start performing, and when they go down the platform, they don't do anything that is not related to going to the platform back. They are artists. They are not really Levites in the good sense. The tabernacle helps us to see that worship is not just music and liturgy. It is encountering the living God, reflecting his holiness, and pointing to his finished work in Christ. As we wrap up or start coming, putting together and finishing our sermon, let me share that. This covenant, the one that we are living under with, of grace, makes me wonder what has happened in the last 2,000 years with grace. What has happened to grace? What we have done with grace? Would it be better to be with the law? With the covenant of the law? In fact, many people, many sects still are in the covenant of the law. Many. We know and appreciate so much the covenant of grace. The new covenant, Jesus Christ, started for us right at the table. This is the new covenant in my blood, when he said that. But how much do we appreciate that grace? Is that a permission to do anything? Or is that something that compels us to dedicate fully our life, no matter what we do for a living or anything, but to compels us to dedicate our life to him? Years, or maybe more, after Jesus' early ministry, the question of what we have done with grace, for me, becomes a spiritual and actually a historical reflection too. Scripture reminds us to examine ourselves to see if we are living up to God's command and using his grace to transform our lives. Many believers have accepted grace, but the challenge remains. What has been with what has happened with missions last days? I'm not talking about missions in the sense of the formal mission and the organization that sends missionaries to everywhere. I'm talking about the mission that we, each one of us, have with their neighbors. We live on a mission. We live on a mission every day. We have encounters every day. Every day. That every time we leave this place, this is our mission field for everyone. Here and outside, everywhere is our mission field. And there are many ways to reach out people. I was speaking with some covenant leaders about how the new generation of the kids and middle schoolers and high schoolers, when they leave their houses to go to another place to study in college or university, how they abandon church, abandon the community of believers, what we are doing as a church to avoid that. What we are doing, that's our mission. Our home is our mission. We are raising the next missionaries, the next pastors, the next leaders, the next teachers of the word, or even any other profession, any other But when we are raising them, we are raising them in the sense that they are focused on serving their neighbors as Jesus. And be the message for them. Not only with what they do, because some people say, preach Jesus and when, what is the word I was saying? And then, and when use words. Yeah, some people say that. I have no idea where that come from. No idea. Because if they don't know what you believe, they will believe whatever. Unless we say specifically what Jesus has done for them. Not only our word, our actions, but our action plus our words to let them know this is the way. This is the path. As we wrap up, as we finish, we are going to need some music. Grace is not a static gift, but dynamic, ongoing reality. After more than 2,000 years, we have accepted God's grace. Yes. So what are the results? We need to have some results. Each one of us. The title of this message was, "It is what it was." It never changed. The plan of God never changed. It's the same. Same, I mean, different way of communicated, because they weren't able to really see the whole revelation, but we have the whole revelation and all the message. It never changed. It was always the same plan. Let's praise our Lord as we still finish our thoughts. I'll be back. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your word, your total word, all your word is good for teaching, for correction. It's good to change the life of anybody. From Genesis to Revelation, all is good. We just need to approach it and find the good teachings that they have for us. And we praise you. So many ways you have shown us the same thing over and over. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for taking the initiative to tabernacle with us. Thank you, Jesus, for taking the form of a human person to take our shame. In Jesus' name, amen.